everybody, welcome to Calum's Alliance Church. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor at the church. Really glad to have you online and you beautiful people in the room. Good to see you here. Just before we get into it, two things. Next weekend, we are going to open up some space for kids ministry. So July 11th and 12th, we get to have and welcome some of our families. Maybe you're at home and you're like, look, bro, I'm not bringing my little kids there. It's going to be too crazy. Next weekend, we actually get to open up some spots for kids ministry, which is exciting. Also, next weekend, we're going to have a Q&A. So less sermon, more question and answer about the vision you're going to hear this weekend, and maybe just other questions that you have about Casey you've been dying to ask and you don't know how. Next weekend is your weekend. So text the number at the bottom of your screen, and we will get to as many of those questions as possible. Okay, now, something really exciting. Good news for us at KAC. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new worship pastor at Calum's Alliance Church. Yeah, really good news, really fantastic news. Aaron Baird is gonna start at our church as a pastor of worship arts. August 18th, he's gonna be here. So him and his wife, Brooke, are gonna move up and join our community. They are so excited to come. And so for those of you who are like, who's this Aaron guy? You missed the weekend. Maybe you just wanna get a little bit more of an insight. We have a podcast that we recorded with him. I recorded with him 30 to 40 minutes of just Aaron. You get to know who he is, his story, his hope, his dreams, what he thinks ministry is like, what he's excited to come here and do. All of that stuff, that's going to launch this week. Anywhere that you get your podcast, check that out, Calum's Alliance Church. So this weekend, my job is to take all of us from the engine room of the ship onto the bridge. The engine room of the ship onto the bridge. Oftentimes in church, we get stuck in the engine room. We're down there, you're reading the dials, there's all the systems and the engines, and that is catapulting the boat forward. But without going on to the bridge, you don't really know, you don't really understand why the dials read the way that they do unless you know where the church is going or the ship is going. So my job is to take us from the engine room to the bridge. Where do we see Calum's Alliance Church going as we continue our series, Unstoppable Church? Where is this thing going? So this is the church's vision. The last 2 years of KAC, so August 1st is my two-year anniversary. You haven't run me and my family out of the city. Thank you very much. We love it here. It's gone really, really well. But man, so much change at our church, and some intentional and some not. And so here we are. What I want to do is I kind of want to relieve some change fatigue maybe and say, what has this all been for? Where are we going? And that's this weekend. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you into a class. The first class is the first idea in this classroom is KAC 101. If you're checking our church out, you're new to us, you're thinking about, hey, whenever this whole COVID thing lifts, you want to check this out. This is the weekend for you because you get to hear all about it. So KAC 101, mission, vision, values, core values, all that stuff. And then we're going to do a deeper dive into the vision of our church. And so that's where we're going. KAC 101. Who are we? Our mission at our church, the mission, the reason why we do all of this, the reason why we exist, you've heard it before, to know Jesus and to make him known. To know Jesus is all about discipleship. It's all about going deep into the person and work of Jesus Christ, to know Jesus and then to make him known. Mission. We have a heart as a church, as a denomination, to not just know Jesus for the sake of knowing him, but to make him known in our world. Discipleship and mission. That is why we exist, everything that we do. Our vision, our hope, who we want to become. You can think of vision this way. It's kind of like that point on the horizon that you're always marching towards, but probably are never going to arrive at. So our vision as a church is to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. All people, like I mentioned last week, it's all people, all nations, all tribes, all languages, all people become fully devoted. So it's not seasonal, it's not sometimes, but fully devoted followers of Jesus. Our conviction is that life is lived best, both now and for eternity with Jesus. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so to be a follower of Jesus is to apprentice Jesus. It's to be a disciple. This is discipleship. So when we started with this language, we wanted to ask, well, for the new person, what does discipleship mean? What are the habits and the actions, the commitments even of discipleship. So we have four words that really shape our ministry. We ask all of our ministries to think about these different things. The first one is love. This is about identity. Identity is a big word in our culture right now, and we just think the truest thing about any human being is that they are loved by God, pursued by God. Vertical love that spills into horizontal love, that we love God and we love each other. That's the first commitment of a disciple. The second one is we gather. So you're in the room right now because of this value that we know that apprenticeship to Jesus is not a solo mission. It is together, life together as the church. So this is about community. The third one is practice. We practice the faith. I am so convinced that the way forward, how do you make disciples in 2020? Is we do that by looking backward. In other words, how have disciples been made throughout church history? There's no secret. They've practiced the faith of silence and solitude and Sabbath and scripture and celebration and fasting and prayer and all of those things. We want to train you so that you know Jesus. You know him intimately. That's practicing. This is about worship, a life of worship, and then go, and that's mission. Our core values, what are our core values in our class, KAC 101? Our core values are really what make us different. They make us different. There are commitments as an organization and as a church. And so every New Testament church is given the same thing, the Great Commission, but that feels and looks differently depending on where you go. So here at KAC, our core values, number one is gospel centrality. Gospel centrality. If you don't like the cross, you don't like KAC. We talk about the cross. We talk about what Jesus has done and the resurrection almost every single stinking week here. We think it is the bedrock of our faith. The second one is deeper life. We believe that we need to live and we are able to live a powerful discipleship to Jesus, not kind of bumping along the bottom of the ocean, but a powerful life filled with the Holy Spirit. The third one is community, which we already talked about. The fourth one is missional engagement, which we already talked about. The fifth one is culture. Culture. What does that mean? I mean it in two ways. The first thing is we are so concerned about the culture of our church that we want to have a culture that releases leaders for ministry. We want to have a culture that is warm and welcoming. You know, when you go to a store or a restaurant or another organization, a toxic culture, because you can feel it. You maybe can't articulate it, but you can feel it. Here, we want to have a great culture that we are intentional in building. That's the first way I mean that word, culture. The second way is the culture out there in your world. I have such a strong conviction that if it's 2020 out there, it should be 2020 in the church as well. And so we want to, with biblical reliance, precision, and accuracy, we want to tackle the topics that you and I face all the time living in 2020. So, class, that's KAC 101, our mission, our vision, our core values, and our discipleship pathway. These are the words and the language that guide us as we think about our future. So what I want to do now is I want to take a deeper dive into our vision to see all people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Let's get on the ground. What does that look like? So I want you to know that what I'm about to share with you hasn't just come from my brain. It just wasn't a dream that I came up with and wrote it all down and now I'm giving it to you. No. Part of the culture at KAC is that we lead in teams. So this isn't a Wild West show where I'm just doing everything and telling everybody what to do. This was intentionally sought after, prayed after, fasted about, talked about at our elders' retreat last fall, talked with the staff about. So this isn't just me. This is the ownership of the senior leaders and elders of our church. I also want to say that I am fully aware of COVID-19 and its effects on our vision. My fear is that you're going to be listening to this and you're going to look at me like somebody who came up with the idea for Blockbuster. Right? Blockbuster, I got a great idea. We're going to have a centralized thing. You're going to come, there's going to be a wall of new releases, and you're going to get those new releases. You're going to be able to take that home, and if you don't rewind it, you're going to get fined. And you're like, bro, like we got on-demand Netflix. We don't need Blockbuster anymore. And my fear is that as I go through this, you're going to think of me in that way. I understand it's COVID-19, and I will address it at the end. So promise me that you won't lose me in the middle of it, okay? So here we go. What I want to do is I just want to talk about the problem, the solution, the reason why we need to do something, and the reason why we need to do something now. So let's talk about the problem. the problem. Being in Kamloops, do you realize that there is a local church pastor in Kamloops sent from the United States? And this church in the United States looked at the spiritual dry climates in North America and said, we want to plant a church there. We want to send this person as a missionary to somewhere who needs Jesus. Do you know where they were sent? Kamloops. Here, people are sending missionaries to us. So KAC has sent missionaries out. We're going to continue to send missionaries out all over the world. But do you realize that there are people identifying Kamloops as a place that needs missionaries? That is our current spiritual climate. Conservatively, stats say between 3 to 5% of Canadians are Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, missionally engaged Christians. 3 to 5%. So our good mayor yesterday on Canada Day, we're recording this on Thursday, Canada Day sends out a tweet and he says to the 95,000 people that live in Kamloops, happy Canada Day. So from the mayor, 95,000 people live in Kamloops, 3 to 5%. The low end of that is just over 2,800 and the high end of that is just over 4,700 people in our city know Jesus, love Jesus, believe in the Bible, are on mission with their lives. That is a very low percentage. Very, very, very low. As I thought about that, and even thought about our good neighbors to the south, I'm going to say it, Kelowna. Oh, sorry. But our neighbors to the south in Kelowna, if you were to pull the bottom end of that statistic, just over 2,800 people, if you were to pull all of the Christians in Kamloops, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, on-mission people, they would fit into the largest church in Kelowna. One, all of the Christians in our city would fit into the largest church in Kelowna, and there's many more in Kelowna than just that one. We are in trouble here in Kamloops. We are spiritually dry, I would even say bankrupt. If you think of even our region, the Thompson-Nicola, 132,000 people in our region. If you think of that 3 to 5%, the low end of that would be 3,900, and the high end of that would be 6,600 people in our area, 45,000 square kilometers that know the Bible, love Jesus, are on mission with their lives. This is a problem. This is a problem. The people need Jesus, and they don't know him. And the burden of that should not just rest on me, but us, the church. This is a problem that we need to solve. It's a problem that's been given to us. People need Jesus, and so our conviction, my conviction, led by the scriptures, that the people that don't know Jesus will not know him for eternity. So we have to do something about this, the spiritual bankruptcy in our city, your neighbors, my neighbors, our friends, our coworkers who are far away from Jesus for whatever reason it may be. So the solution to this problem, God, I have good news. God has done something in Jesus Christ to bring people who are far away near to Jesus. This is the good news of the Christian message, that we are good news people, to bring the good news of Jesus to our world, and that God has asked our church to do that. And our church, Kamloops Alliance Church, has been here, listen, for 76 years doing that, all right? 76 years in our city saying, God, we will do something. You lead us, you sustain us, but we will do something about it, bringing dignity to the marginalized, loving the people who are unlovable, doing the things that the church does in the city for 76 years, bringing redemptive lift to our city, holistic ministry physically and spiritually. This is a solution to that problem that we need to, with zeal and an extra bit of commitment and passion, pursue like never before. So what does our future look like? What does our future look like? So what I'm going to do is kind of cast vision for our short, medium, and long-term vision from the elders and myself that I want to cast you. Now, don't worry. I know it's COVID-19. We'll get to that, okay? So short, medium, and long-term. As we thought about what are the limiters to our effectiveness and our growth, we love our building. It's a gift to us, but it is our building. Conventional church wisdom says that any service that's 80% full, you need to do something. You need to build a new building. You need to add a new service. You need to do something because people think it's full. It's not as welcoming. The parking lot is too full. There's too many kids in kids ministry, that sort of stuff, 80%. And so during different times of a year, pre-COVID, all three of our services would bump up to that 80% full capacity. Our building is great. We're grateful for it, but it is and was a limiter for our ministry. So we thought, well, what do we do? We got a few options. First one is we do a massive building campaign. We kick out walls and add this and do all of that. That's an option. The other option is we move. We sell this place and we go to another area and we build a new building. We didn't like those. We didn't like those at all. The first reason, if you thought about doing a massive structural building campaign, which may come eventually, but at this time we didn't want to do that. I have stood up in front of a congregation before and unveiled plans for a $6+ million building, but I don't think that's the right time for us to do the same. So instead of doing all of that, we said, no, we don't want to saddle our church with a huge, big building program. We don't want to do that. And the thought of moving, it doesn't feel right at all. We are central in our city. We are given a great gift to be where we're at. And so that wasn't an option at all. So what we said was, okay, how do we maximize our square footage to cut down on costs and to get to the mission as soon as possible? And so short-term plans, simply this. Our goal and our hope is to address this building here, right? Our room right here, where you and I are standing in our sanctuary, over 40,000 people came through this room in 2019. 40,000 people. This is the most used room that we have. And I love it, but folks, it's tired. There's wrinkles in the carpet. The walls they're nice, but they could use some love. And so what we want to do over the short term is address that. We wanted to do some things in this room. Upgrade our sanctuary with renovation, with paint and seating, with some tech upgrades. And as we thought about that, we were able to actually get more people in this room with different seating configurations and all that. So that's a great thing. But the problem when you add more space is that you run out of kids ministry. And a pinch point for any church growth is children's ministry. As we thought about that and how we maximize our current square footage, we identified our gym as a great place to reconfigure and repurpose for children's ministry moving forward. So we would make it on the weekends for children's ministry and through the week have different ways to repurpose it for different groups to meet and all that sort of stuff. So short term is to address this room, is to address our foyer and to address our gym, to repurpose it for kids ministry. In the medium term, what we wanted to do is to maximize again the square footage that we have. So our hope, whenever this happens, is to go to a multi-venue format here on this campus. What I mean by multi-venue is this. We have two locations where Sunday gatherings take place. The first one is this room. Three services, Saturday night, two Sunday morning. And the second one is our multi-purpose room in our ministry center. It can seat 150 people. So what we would do is we'd have maybe one or two gatherings over there, a host campus pastor that would welcome people, pastor people. There would be a smaller field there that we think would attract more people, new people to our church. There'd be live worship and we would pipe over a recorded sermon, but also would have live preaching over there as well. As we would go multi-venue, what this would do with the additional seats in our sanctuary and with the additional seats in our multi-purpose room, we would almost be able to double the amount of people that we have here on campus over a weekend. And we think that is a huge win, to be able to do that without coming to us as a congregation with a multi-million dollar building campaign. We think this is wise stewardship and it gets us to the mission sooner than later. So that a part of this is to invest in technology and infrastructure to be able to do this well. Long term, what does this look like? Like I said, we just believe that KAC is smack dab in the middle of our city, and that is a huge gift. But as we think about Kamloops geographically, we also see Kamloops being positioned very, very strategically in the Thompson-Nicola. But we are the hub city of our area. If you want healthcare, specialist appointment, where do you come? You come to Kamloops. If you want groceries, where do you go? You wait in line at Costco for a bit. If you want some entertainment, sporting events, where do you come in the Thompson Nicola? You come to Kamloops. So Kamloops is this hub in our area. And so as we were thinking and praying, Lord, what would you have for us and our city and our region, the Thompson Nicola? We felt God expanding our heart and expanding our sandbox, as it were, to our area. So long-term, as we address a double our capacity here, we have a desire to go to a multi-site campus model, to be able to make disciples of our entire area. And so we started to dream about what that would look like. God, that we as Kamloops Lions would be a sending church to our area, not just Kamloops, but to our area. So we just threw out some things, and please don't, you may, you know, hey, well, you said this. I'm just vamping here, okay? So let me vamp a little bit. We dreamt about, man, what would it look like to do a seasonal campus at Sun Peaks? 400,000 visitors at Sun Peaks between November and April, and as far as we can tell, not a good church presence up there. What would it look like for us to go to the second largest municipality in the Thompson Nicola, Merritt, and plant a church there? I talked to somebody from Merritt last fall at our kickoff, and he said to me, I just kind of threw out this idea. He said, please, we need the help. Merritt is spiritually bankrupt. He said at that time, churches were literally being burnt to the ground, and so there is a need. As we think about culture, you want to change culture, you want to impact our culture, you know who you need to get? You need to reach college students, university students. So what would it look like for us to not just say to the students at TRU, hey, come to our church, but for us to go to them and have a campus on ministry on the weekends for university students? This is what got our engines going, and we were fired up about what God could do through these dreams and through this vision, the solution. So we've talked about the problem, talked about our short, medium, and long-term plans for the solution of this. And now I want to talk to you about the reason why I think we need to do something. The reason why we need to do something, I have a few. The first one is because we have the God to do this. We have the God to do this. I really want to be a lead pastor that learns and is desperate for prayer. And in order for that to happen, there's many things, but one of the mechanisms is to have a God-sized vision. Just to be a little bit scared, and Lord, would you come and do the things that we can't? Would you bring favor to cities that we want to reach? Would you bring the good people that we need in order to reach them? Would you do this? And so I just think God is saying, expand your dreams and your prayers for what God could do through KAC. We have the God to do this. And I want there to be a collective gulp. I understand the skeptics among us. Believe me, I am the skeptic at 3 a.m. when I'm watching my fan. God, could you actually do this? Are we crazy to do this? I understand. We have the God to do this. Secondly, we have the mission to do this. He has asked the church, Kamloops Lions, for the last 76 years to do something. And we have said yes. And we are going to continue to say yes. Lord, if it is what you are doing, we want to move in that direction. We are in the right spot to do this, both in our city and in our region. I believe we have the resources to do this. One of the things I've noticed coming to Kamloops Lions is with 3 different services and the size of our room, it's really kind of easy to get this idea that KAC is just kind of a smaller church. But when you only come to one service, you don't realize that there's actually 3 other services happening. And so what I want to do is, without any arrogance, but to really define who we are as a church, when we have the most amount of people here during the year, we're bumping up and just a little bit over 1,000 people on a weekend. That number positions us in the top 5 to 8% of church sizes in all of North America. I don't say that with, I try not to say with any arrogance. I'm just kind of saying this is the reality of who we are. I love other churches in our city. I'm praying for their flourishing there. I love it. It's all good. But we have a unique responsibility and an opportunity because of our size, with the resources that we have and the people, to do something God-sized. And I just think that's us. And I think we have the history to do this. Like I said, 76 years. We're committed here. So why now? Why now? All right, so now let me talk to you about COVID-19 and how this shapes and changes things. I don't want to be the guy selling the blockbuster chain store model in a Netflix world. I understand where we are. What I want to say is that the mission is eternal and the methods are temporary. The mission is eternal, the methods that we use are temporary. We can switch them in and out. So the main method that we have done, church, it's not currently happening. People coming to a building. And so you're thinking online, you're like, bro, I haven't been to church in 4 months and you want to paint the walls a new carpet. I haven't even been there. And who knows when we're going to come back. I totally, totally understand where you're coming from. So the question is, are we right now in a detour or are we on a bridge? A detour is like, well, we're just kind of meandering over here and then we're going to come back and everything is going to be like it was 5 months ago. Is that where we're at? Potentially. I don't think so, though. I think what we're on right now is a bridge. This isn't a detour. This is a bridge to a new reality, a new way of doing ministry. And I want to be on the forefront, prayerfully saying, Lord, how do we now know you and make you known in our area? So what I think this does, as we think about our short, medium, and long-term vision, is that this puts a pause on our short and medium term a pause on our short and medium term, and our long-term plans actually come closer to us in the forefront. Are we going to invest in the infrastructure and technology? Yes. Is there going to come a time where we redo the carpets and the paint? Yes, 100%. But potentially that is not canceled. It's just paused right now. And the idea of being this kind of sending, broadcasting ministry place for our region and our world becomes more in the forefront. So what does that look like? The building, KAC on Lee Road. How do we utilize this building right now? This is a method. It's always been the method of the church. They've always been a people, but they've always gathered in a place. And I think that's important, and it still will be important moving forward. At some point, there's going to be some sort of treatment option, and this whole COVID-19, praise the Lord, will be in our rearview mirror. So this still matters. Our building matters and taking care of it matters and making sure it looks good and sounds good and feels good and utilizes what we can do for God's glory well. But I also see our building right now and in the future being a broadcast center for our city, for our region, and for our world. We have seen this happen even through the last 4 months. So technology and upgrades, we need to do that really, really well. We're thinking about how do we repurpose rooms on this campus in order to see ourselves as a broadcasting ministry place with a big vision that we hope God will do for us. So weekends will happen eventually, and we want to be ready with the plan. We do have it. They're paused and they're not canceled, and we still want to facilitate in-person gatherings here. So our building still matters 100%. But as we think about online and digital, which is what you're doing right now at your house with your hair a mess, you're eating a waffle, your kids are screaming, this has been the way that we've done ministry, and we need to think about that more. And this is our primary way to engage right now. So right when this whole mess happened as a church, we said, do we close the doors, pack it all in, and wait for the storm to pass? No, that wasn't our posture. We said, Lord, the methods are temporary, but the mission is eternal. So what does it look like right now? So our team has worked so hard. I'm so proud of our team for all that we have done in this past season. We have seen enormous impact in our church. Let me just recount some of those ways. Over the past 4 months, we've seen people reach out for prayer in our online gatherings. We've had 4 people, because of our presence online, become followers of Jesus Christ. Youth and young adults, they collapsed everything and they went on Zoom. They had 80 to 100 people per week with amazing conversations with students that would never have happened without this season. Our kids ministry, they went online, great content online. They have VBS in a box for the summer, craft boxes for parents to alleviate some of the craziness that us parents with young kids were going through in this season. Throughout the month of May, KC was able to distribute 2,000 meals to marginalized people in our city in need. We were able to give $2,000 in food vouchers for like-minded organizations. And as you just heard, $50,000 to people and organizations in our city that are bringing redemptive lift to people's lives. We started a podcast in COVID-19 with 1,600 downloads in our first season. Our weekends are averaging about 346 devices per week, and every device represents a number, whether that's 1 or even up to 7. So we are reaching the same amount of people, if not more, than we ever have before because of this season. We launched 4 new life groups during COVID online. People who have never attended here in person now consider KAC their home church because of this season. Women's ministry offered waffles worship and the word with 25 women. We had 84 people at our volunteer appreciation in June. Our ministry has continued and we have seen God do something. The fact is that everybody that we want to reach is online. They may not ever come to our building, but every single person that we want to reach is online. And so we're thinking, Lord, how do we do that? So I believe that this ministry, this season has actually been a catapult for us. So looking to the near future, what could this look like? I think this season could accelerate our desire for our region through small gatherings in homes, community centers, maybe in Merritt, Sun Peaks, or even at TRU. I believe that our multi-site vision is sooner rather than later now, that this could be the season in the midst of a pandemic where actually we become a multi-site church reaching more people with the message of Jesus Christ, that this could be it. So COVID becomes more important for us to see our campus here on Lee Road as a broadcast center for the world with podcasts and videos and great content and courses and teaching and music. This excites me to think about what God could do both here in Kamloops, in our region, and as even we think about the world, that our heart and our posture is to say, Lord, in our time, would you do it? So the question is, are you on board? Does this do something in your soul? If you've ever been canoeing with somebody that doesn't know how to do it, it's terrible. It is the most frustrating thing, trying to teach somebody how to row at the same time. You're doing circles, you're yelling at the person. It's just ridiculous when people aren't all rowing in the same direction. And so it is with the vision at a church. That we, my prayer, and you, this is why we're doing a Q&A next, because we want to bring you along, that we as a church would understand the power of a shared vision as we all row in the same direction. And so this doesn't come for free. It doesn't come for free. What will it take? Lots, but let me outline maybe a few things. This is going to take a commitment to prayer like never before. Lord, send us people, send us campus pastors, send us resources, send us favor at the city. Lord, would you, so if your life, your prayer life is boring and it's not present, man, this would be something that would say, Lord, you have to do it in our time as we seek the spiritual and holistic renewal of our city and our area. And there's also a shift in our mindset that needs to happen. For some of us, we're in a me mindset right now. It's all about me. Me, me, me. It's about what I can get. I don't like the song. I don't like this. I complain about this and that. It's all about me, that our church exists for your benefit and for your happiness. And listen, we do in a way do that, or exist for that reason. We want you to have a great marriage. We want you to have a good family. 100%. But there's a mindset behind that that has to change. Some of us have a ministry mindset. It's a great mindset. You show up when you're supposed to. You do the things. You kind of fall in line, but really, KAC and the vision is kind of an optional thing. You believe in it kind of, sort of. We don't need a me mindset. We don't need a ministry mindset. We all need to adopt a mission mindset. Mission mindset. And a mission mindset simply says this. There is more than me. More than me. This is about, listen to me, this is about the thousands of people in our area that don't know Jesus. And he's asked us to do something. Will we do it? It's a problem that we've been called to solve. And so let me just call some of us to action. Calling all high school students to see your high school as a place for ministry, to launch Alpha in your high school. Calling all moms, your vital mission in our church is to make disciples of your kids. Calling all marketplace leaders in our city that your business and your role exists to provide a service. Yes, but more than that is to make Jesus known. I'm calling all of us, all of those in your second half of life and our seniors, your wisdom and support of our church in the midst of these changes, both in this pandemic and what we want to do in the future is vital. And my commitment is I will do whatever it takes to bring you along, but we need you on board for this. calling all retirees. My challenge for you is don't just come and take from our region and our city for what it can provide for you. Oh, I love the lifestyle that Kamloops can provide. You have come to take instead of come to give back with passion and zeal and prayer for the redemptive lift of our city and beyond. I'm calling all of us to financially trust God in new ways. We need you to invest your money into the kingdom for the sake of our region. And I understand the economic time that we're living in. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a generous church. But I'm asking now that you would trust God more than ever. That you would invest your money, not into the things of here and now, but into the kingdom of God and the message of Jesus Christ. I'm calling all husbands to love your family and sacrifice for their flourishing. To see your house as your main place of ministry. And I'm calling those who live in and around Kamloops, maybe in Sun Peaks or Merritt, would you be willing to be a part of a launch team in your community? To go to a community center, to open up your house, and we can start multi-site churches for God's glory in our area. This demands everything from all of us. Everybody on mission all the time for the sake of this. So I'll end with this. In Romans chapter 10, it says this in verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May we be that church whose feet are blessed because they are muddy and dirty and tired and blistered from bringing the message of Jesus to Kamloops, our region, and to our world. May it be so. Lord, thanks for this time. Lord, I'm just so humbled. I am not good enough. I don't know anything. But Lord, you have placed this in front of us. So it's with fear and trepidation, Lord, but with obedience that I personally say yes, that I want to leverage my life and my income and my story for this vision. And it may take way longer, Lord. The methods of what I just outlined, we hold them with open hands. If they don't work or dumb, whatever it is, Lord, that's fine. But we come to you today and say, may it be so in all humility. And we would pray the prayer of Habakkuk, Lord. Lord, we've heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. We ask you to renew them in our day. In our day, Lord, would you make them known? So make us a people that get excited about all the right things. For the sake of your name, we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, for trusting us. Please tune in next week as we tackle some of your questions.